bit. Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
We've got the Shadow Attorney General Mark Dreyfus on the line, and we'll have a chat to him about George Brandis, the Attorney General, and the disgraceful way that the Solicitor General has been treated, not just by the Attorney General, but by the Senate Committee, where I'd recommend some of those members of that Senate Committee, perhaps they need to go to something like Safe Schools or some relationships discussion. Bullies, pure and simple bullies, the way they treated the Solicitor General. Appalling.
I'm speechless. I don't know what to say, mate.
I watched it and I thought, you know, these guys like Senator McDonald, I mean, you know, I came from the country. I used to, you know, there was a kid at school like him who just used to beat everyone up and bully them. So he should be ashamed. Anyway, Mark Dreyfus, the Shadow Attorney General, is on the line. Good morning, Mark.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
There you go. There's a bit of an intro just to set the tone. As a...
Can I just say, this is actually on the back of having had a conversation with a State Minister for Education about respectful education,
respectful relationships
education. So here we are now talking about bullying amongst the two most senior legals in this nation.
And, you know, as Mark, someone, you know, with a law degree myself, I am appalled, absolutely appalled at the way the Solicitor General has been treated, how he's been forced out, how he had to make a decision because the relationship with the Attorney General had broken down. Where is the independence? Where is, you know, that public service mantra of fearless advice? What's happened, Mark? How has this happened?
Well, I think a lot of Australians are looking on absolutely dumbfounded at the way this government doesn't want to get independent advice, doesn't want to get any advice that it doesn't like, and attacks even senior public servants, senior statutory office holders like the Solicitor General, like Professor Gillian Triggs, the head of the Human Rights Commission. And it includes, as you said in the introduction, this unbelievably bad behaviour of Liberal senators in Senate committees who seem to think that it's acceptable for them to rudely, boorishly attack senior statutory office holders. And I think the reaction you expressed is pretty common among any Australians that actually, not that many Australians watch Senate committees, but it's a dreadful thing to see, and it's not the standard of conduct that Australians expect. But deep down, the big problem is we've got a government that can't bear to get independent advice, and we'll all be the poorer for it.
I mean, the Solicitor General is, you know, he represents the Australian government. He advises the Australian government, you know, whether it's on treaty negotiations, whether it's on legislation, it's about whether or not, you know, if legislation is challenged in the High Court, what are the chances of success? It's so important that that position be independent and be able to give advice. Do you think, you know, because we've got coming up in the Senate this regulation that the Attorney General, that was at the heart of this, where the Attorney General wants to be able to approve any, you know, the Governor General, the Prime Minister, other ministers seeking advice from the Solicitor General, that he wants to stymie the ability of those people to get that independent advice. This is a huge threat to those in executive government being able to get independent advice when they perhaps have some doubt about something or they want to understand it better. I mean, is George Brandis completely and utterly mad?
Well, that's for you to judge, but what I'm sure
well, I think he is.
He's power mad, let's put it that way, because this was a grab for power, pure and simple. That was a very good description of what the Solicitor General does. He's the government's main barrister, if you like. He gives legal advice. He goes to the High Court, in International Court of Justice, if need be, on behalf of Australia, on behalf of the Commonwealth. And in the 100 years, this is the centenary year of the Solicitor General's office, in 100 years, no one has ever thought to restrict him giving advice to the Prime Minister or to heads of departments in the way that George Brandis has done. And I'm not alone in saying that. The previous Solicitors General who are still around, like Dr. Gavin Griffiths, who worked for the Hawke, Keating and Howard governments for 2 or 3 years, 14 years in total, he said that this was like putting a dog on a lead. Now, that's pretty colourful, but if Gavin Griffiths, not known for
colourful language. Yeah.
comes to that, that tells you how serious this is. Brandis has not explained it in the least. He's come up with all sorts of cover, really, having misled the Senate right from the start by saying he consulted the Solicitor General about this law change. He didn't. And for that alone, he should go. But a whole lot of other things, have become clear in the course of the inquiry into George Brandis's dealings with the Solicitor General, and that includes that he's misled the Parliament. Brandis has misled the Parliament about advice that the Solicitor General gave. This was on the citizenship bill last year. I'm staggered that George Brandis is still there. It shows how weak Turnbull is, that he hasn't been able to sack him. He should sack him. He's doing damage every day he remains there, as far as I'm concerned.
So, Mark, a counterpoint of view is that the Solicitor General was politicised and that he had spoken with you during the election campaign. What do you make of that comment?
It's nonsense. I know that the Liberals have been trying to distract people from what happened here, which is the Attorney General of Australia misleading Parliament and making a law that no one thought was necessary and has never been thought of before. That's the issue. They want to say that me having a phone conversation with Justin Gleeson in June, short conversation about two things. The two questions were that I asked, were you consulted about this law change? Remember, it happened just before the election was announced on May the 4th. And his answer was no. And do you support it? His answer was no. And I needed to know those things in order to go on with this. And I needed to know them potentially as the incoming Attorney General.
Of course.
The idea that there can be anything wrong with a member of the Australian Parliament speaking to a senior public servant is simply nonsense. And that's not politicising anything. These are factual matters. There's no discussion of political matters. It's a very, very serious change that George Brandis brought about here. And it's totally appropriate for me to speak to the Solicitor General about it. I speak to a whole range of senior public servants. It's a matter for them as to whether they report those conversations to their ministers, and they're free to do so. I wouldn't dream of doing anything in a surreptitious manner. I didn't see that this was a conversation that needed to be reported, and I now know, to the Attorney General, now know, because the Senate has inquired into this, that Justin Gleeson had written in clear terms to George Brandis, telling him, you didn't consult me, and telling him, in no uncertain terms, that he didn't approve of this change. So there was no news to George Brandis in anything I'd learned from Justin Gleeson. He already knew it. He'd had it in writing. It's just a distraction. The main issue here is George Brandis's unfitness for office as Attorney General, his continuing misleading of the Parliament on a number of occasions, and the appalling approach he's taken to independent advice generally, because he has done nothing to defend. Not only has he done nothing to defend the Solicitor General, he attacked him, he's also done nothing to defend the President of the Human Rights Commission, Gillian Triggs. It's actually the Attorney General's job to defend these statutory office holders, not the reverse.
Oh, Mark, that's a very unreasonable view to expect George Brandis to defend the independence of these people. It's obviously, in this issue, it's alien to him. I mean, what he wanted to do here, and it comes up before the Senate, it's called a disallowable instrument, isn't it? Whereby the Senate can actually reverse it.
Yes. And I'm hopeful it will be disallowed by the Senate in the remaining three sitting weeks of the year. I've talked to the crossbenchers, talked to the Greens Party, and I'm reasonably confident it will be disallowed, particularly with what's now come to light in this Senate inquiry and the disgraceful treatment of Justin Gleeson.
A senior barrister I was talking to during the week referred to George Brandis as a disallowable blunt instrument. I wanted to, yeah, you can use that. I wanted to touch on the gun laws and the discussion that's been had and the deal that seemed to have been done. You know, the war between, no war, of course, if you listen to the talking points, but between the Prime Minister and Tony Abbott and, you know, David Lionholm saying, well, you know, I'm not going to cooperate, you know, I voted for this legislation because, you know, basically in 12 months' time you'll allow this gun in. Senator Bridget McKenzie from the Nationals, who actually lives in Middle Park, but anyway, you know, talking about this, that, you know, we really need this gun. Farmers group saying, well, actually, we don't. You know, it's not the right sort of weapon. We don't need it. What? Why are we in a situation where we're even having a discussion, where it's being discussed that we should, you know, that there's a, you know, people want to bring more guns into Australia? Like, how have we got to this point?
Well, I'm hopeful. We have got to this point inside the Liberal and National parties, it seems. We know that Tony Abbott and Malcolm Turnbull are at war with each other because that's the government itself used that word in some talking points. But on the guns, it's really something that Australia can be incredibly proud of, that we have restricted the supply and distribution of guns. There are still far too many illegal guns out there, but we have done a pretty good job in restricting the availability of guns in Australia. And I think the overwhelming majority of Australians, when they compare our community to what happens in the United States, where there is virtually no restriction on the availability of guns, I know which country I'd rather be living in. And we have very, very few gun-related deaths in Australia because we have restricted the availability of guns. For the life of me, I don't understand why any Australian politician would be pressing for a rapid-fire shotgun to become more generally available when the advice of police forces across Australia don't make it generally available. There's some things that the police are pretty good at, and working out which guns are going to cause harm if they're out there in the community is one of them, and we should be following their advice.
Hear, hear. It's great to hear you reinforce that view. Mark, just a final question before we part with you this morning. It would be remiss of us not to ask you, what does the Labor Party have in store for us and for Parliament around marriage equality? And what can we expect to see as the next steps from you?
I hope that we in Labor have been very, very clear. We want a free vote in Parliament. The very deep and extensive discussions I had with the LGBTI community, both community groups and individuals in opposing the plebiscite, showed me that there's a tremendous appetite for a campaign in the community to start or to recommence, if you like, the campaign for a free vote in Parliament. We are looking at how to bring that about. There's obviously some parliamentary options. We've got a bill in the Parliament now, moved by Bill Shorten and seconded by Tanya Plibersek. There's another cross-party bill also in the House of Representatives, and there's private senators' bills are possible too. We have to work through what's the best way to keep the pressure on the government to let that free vote happen. And we will be working towards that happening. I don't see it happening in the three remaining sitting weeks this year, but I am very, very hopeful that it can happen next year. That's got to be the objective.
Can we expect to see Labor work more collaboratively with the Greens and some of the other independents and crossbenchers to happen?
Of course. We have worked in the past on this very subject collaboratively across the Parliament. Bill Shorten has said directly, he doesn't care who moves the bill that gets passed. He doesn't care who moves the bill that leads to the free vote. What matters is that there is a bill and that there's a free vote. And, of course, congratulations to whoever's name is on the bill, but that's not the important thing. Mm. Important to get to the free vote. And just as we had got to the point before this absurd idea of the plebiscite was raised in the dying days of Tony Abbott's leadership, we had got to the point of working with Warren Entsch, who, of course, is a Liberal backbencher from North Queensland, working with Adam Bandt in the House, and Tony and Terry Butler, my colleague from Queensland. They were working together as a group to get cross-party support for a marriage equality bill. And so we've done so in the past. I'm confident we can do so again in the future. But the decision is one to be made by Mr. Turnbull.
Great.
He has to decide to steer down the right wing of his party to go to where we know his heart is. He has said often in the past that he supports marriage equality. What we need is for him to back in his own support for marriage equality by steering down the right wing of his party.
Mark, thank you so much for your time. Good luck next week with the disallowable blunt instrument. And again, thanks for your time this morning. We know it's a very, very busy and it's personal time as well. Always good to have you on.
Good to be with you. Thanks.
Thank you. That was the Shadow Federal Attorney General, Mark Dreyfus.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.